Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Craig Gears at the Georgia Department of Education with the usual team here for podcasts. We're glad to be back after the holidays, and I'll take a moment to introduce the topic for this podcast series is going to be our McKinney-Vento Homeless Education or Assistance Act. So along with myself, we have in the room...
This is John White. I'm with Federal Programs.
Sean Owen with Federal Programs.
Deirdre Smith, Federal Programs.
Eric McGee, Federal Programs.
And Deirdre and Eric are actually the experts on the Homeless Assistance Act. So Sean, John, and I are just your regular moderators. So we're going to get right into the questioning. So either Sean or John, you want to
And I'll go ahead
in?
And start.
Okay.
So for either of you or both of you, what's the history of the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act?
Well, Sean, McKinney-Vento was the first federal legislative response to make an impact in the field of homelessness. And ultimately, it was passed in 1987, and it provides federal money to agencies that serve homeless families as well as educational institutions in their efforts to eradicate homelessness.
Deirdre, is it connected to the Elementary Secondary Education Act, reauthorized as the Every Student Succeeds Act? Is it connected to that?
Well, certainly there are definite connections, and ultimately Title I Part A, in addition to ESSA, Every Student Succeeds, ESSA strengthens the overall ability of school districts to provide protections for students and families experiencing homelessness. And there were amendments that went into play on October 1st, 2016, related to the McKinney-Vento Act that enhanced educational stability amendments for children in foster care, as well as amendments that impacted overall protections for students who are experiencing homelessness.
Let me add that the McKinney-Vento Act is a separate law than a Title I Act that you find in Every Student Succeeds Act, but it was passed at the same time, so it was the same efforts, and they correlate to each other. So technically, it's a separate statute than ESSA, but it's passed at the same time and it ties directly to ESSA. And you'll see the themes of ESSA are mirrored in the themes of McKinney-Vento.
So like ESSA itself is an act, McKinney-Vento
exactly.
is an act.
Exactly.
Can either of you explain what homeless means in the context of our school systems?
So when we define students as McKinney-Vento eligible or identify students who are experiencing homelessness with regard to their educational needs, we are looking at individuals who lack a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence due to an economic hardship or due to the family or the student experiencing something traumatic, such as loss of housing due to a natural disaster, loss of housing due to fire or flood, or families who are experiencing or fleeing domestic violence. And so McKinney-Vento, one of the things that we'd like to point out is that it also provides protections for students and youth who are unaccompanied youth. Those are individuals who are not within the physical custody of a parent or guardian. And so as an unaccompanied youth, students who also are experiencing that lack of regular, fixed, and adequate nighttime housing would also be eligible for services.
Deirdre, you use the word experiencing a lot. And I think that's important because I think sometimes we just say homeless kids, which kind of makes it a permanent or implies that it's a permanent categorization. Why do you use the word experiencing?
Well, as advocates for homeless education here at the department, we certainly fall in line with attempting to mirror best practices nationally. And so with regard to advocacy for homeless families, we certainly do not want to project that homelessness is a fixed situation on a family. We want to advocate for families and students as homelessness being a small part of their lives. And ultimately, as we work with families and students here at the department and with districts around the state, we encourage education professionals to view families as having homelessness as a small part of their lives so that we can help them to overcome the challenges and barriers that they're facing while existing.
That makes sense. So it's not a fixed characteristic. It's just something that the family's going through right now. Hopefully it's a temporary situation.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the term, the right way to say it is a child or a student experiencing homelessness versus a homeless child.
Yes, yeah. Or a family experiencing homelessness. Because again, one of the unique things about the work that we do is we provide advocacy not only in many instances for students, but also for families as they navigate the educational system while they're experiencing homelessness.
That's great. I mean, I think that's really important because it speaks to the sensitivity of the issue and the stigma that can sometimes be attached to it. So
right, it's definitely temporary.
Yes.
It's not full-time.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you bring that up, Eric. I was wondering, Eric or Deidre, this is Georgia. How many students are served in this program? What kind of data do you collect?
Well, students, when they're experiencing homelessness, the school districts are to code those students with a specific environment code, and we're able to collect that data. So this past year, we had just over 40,000 students in the state of Georgia who were identified by school districts as experiencing homelessness. And we know sometimes they can... that number doesn't represent all children. For example, we're talking about public school students, and so those in private school, we wouldn't know. Those that might be under that K through the 12 that we normally serve in public school might not be counted, although they certainly do count those kids if they have siblings. We try to get the count that way, but we do feel like there's more than the 40,000 that was actually reported by school districts, but that number has been growing exponentially for at least the last 12 years or so.
So is that like on a day like today, is that the number 40,000, or is that just over the year some point a kid has been identified?
That number represents an unduplicated count per district for last school year. So all throughout last school year, we had over 40,000 identified,
uniquely identified
in every district.
Right. To John's point, it's not really accurate to say there are 40,000 identified children experiencing homelessness.
Right.
Today.
Now.
Today.
Counted by the school districts? No, but it would be close.
Okay.
It would be close. We know there's some students that this situation is fluid. And so once you count it and you experience homelessness at any given point in a school year, you count for that whole school year. So some students might experience homelessness, it might be the month before school ended.
Right.
So most
right.
of the school year, they might have been housed, but then they had a transition or something happened and they became homeless or experienced homelessness right at the end of the school year. You know, it's a fluid situation, but the point is at some point during the school year last year, we had over 40,000 kids who experienced homelessness.
Right. So when you were talking about that, Eric, you mentioned that the school district is reporting that they are homeless and the school district is identifying that. Can you talk a little bit about that? How do they know? How do they know who's experiencing homelessness?
Well, the law states that they are supposed to proactively seek out families, students that might be in these situations and make sure that they get the services and supports that they deserve to get. And so some school districts, a lot of school districts will have an enrollment form that has some key questions that it might trigger an interview with the representative for McKinney-Vento in that district. So every district has a McKinney-Vento representative, a liaison.
So
looks at just the eligibility for the program. And so an enrollment form, when they're enrolling in school, if there's there might be a question like, are you living with someone else due to economic hardship? It doesn't say homeless, but that question, if they say yes, might trigger an interview. Have they been without housing or permanent housing for a period of time? A question like that, or are you staying in a hotel, or are you staying in a transitional shelter? If that address comes up, that might trigger someone saying, oh, they might be experiencing homelessness right now. Let's make sure that the homeless liaison talks to them and finds out whether that is indeed the case.
The districts then have a protocol. Whoever is reviewing that enrollment form sees that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
They know to call the homeless liaison. And is there a standard follow-up time that's expected?
Well, yes. That should happen. the law states immediately. You know, students should be enrolled immediately. So we want to make sure kids are in a safe environment as quickly as possible, especially when they're experiencing homelessness. Let me just say that the enrollment form is one way. If you already know there's a homeless shelter and you're in a school district, that's one way they can proactively see if there's any children there. If there's low-cost hotels, motels, having some information there and a contact information so they can contact the liaison. So sometimes it's direct contact, and as well as school districts picking it up through these different measures.
Is there ever an instance where a student is categorically, automatically eligible as experiencing homeless just because of another designation they have, or is it a...
No, not necessarily.
The reason I ask is it's always sure.
migrant does.
It's always a case by case basis with homelessness. We have to look at it case by case. Now, there's certainly some indicators that might say in most cases this is going to be homeless, but there's always an exception to the rule. So we say case by case basis. That's why we have a liaison in every district. It's required by law. And they're supposed to interview and make sure that eligibility is indeed the way to go for a particular child.
And if I could just add, the case-by-case basis analysis actually improves identification, because what we don't encourage districts to do is to use cases from previous years to serve as the barometer for identifying new students who come forth. So we definitely encourage personal interviews, as Eric mentioned, visiting hotels, motels, shelters in the area, so that each case can be looked at individually and student needs can be identified and taken care of individually.
So I think it's worth just stating one more time as we wrap up, what are the indicators of experiencing homeless again? Because I think they're more than what we someone just on the street would think. So you want to repeat those one more time for us?
Oh, certainly. So we look to identify McKinney-Vento students based upon students, families, or unaccompanied youth who lack a fixed, regular, or adequate nighttime residence. And fixed meaning, can a student go to the same place every night to spend the night? Regular also, is that a regularly occurring place that the student can be housed? And then adequate, of a residence that has electricity, running water, that is not substandard with regards to protecting a family from the elements of weather and that type of thing. And then also students who are without, due to economic hardship, living with relatives or friends or in places that are substandard housing, like under bridges and that
so
type of thing.
So it could be that it's a home that mm-hmm. is, you know, a fine home, but they're actually having to double up or live with a family out of economic necessity. So that
yes.
fact that they
yes.
are going to a place each night that is an adequate house, the fact that they're having to do that out of economic necessity could be an indicator of experiencing homelessness.
Yes, or in hotels and motels, because for economic reasons, they could not afford their own place to live.
Right, okay, great. Well, I think this has been a super introduction to the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, and we'll pick up, if you guys are willing to come back, for another round.
All right.
Absolutely, thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
You.